New Paradigms for Disadvantaged Learners. Raising Attainment with Wellbeing. Why it works. New Government Targets. By 2030, ministers want 90% of children leaving primary school to reach the expected standards in reading, writing and maths. In 2019, the figure was 65%. At GCSE level, the government wants the mean national average of all grades to rise from 4.5 to 5, a strong pass between the former B and C grades. And this is against the backdrop of trauma recovery work in every school in the country following 2 years of COVID-driven disruption to education. A third of the 6.6 million households with dependent children facing already in fuel poverty. And yet, we at Microlink 100% embrace this ambition for reading, writing and maths. Not because they are government targets, but because we passionately believe that being literate and numerate are basic human rights. But these targets will not be reached by doing more of what we have done already. New paradigms for disadvantaged learners are needed to transform learning outcomes. New ways of systematically removing barriers to learning need to be developed and deployed, using the latest from neuroscience on the social and emotional aspects of learning, applying cognition and metacognition theory and practice, developing approaches that transform the culture and climate of the classroom, and by applying the latest assistive technologies in ways that make their use in mainstream classes as commonplace as using a pen and pencil. Raising Attainment with Wellbeing is a school improvement program for the here and now. Building on a highly successful and engaging whole school program designed and implemented by Achievement for All, a children's charity that in its decade in existence touched the lives of children in nearly 10,000 schools and academies. Teaching Times and Microlink Education have come together to update and relaunch the materials and approaches, adding new resources and opportunities to enable each participating school to tailor engagement precisely to its own developmental pathway. This paper outlines the new paradigm that has inspired the work, rethinking and reinterpreting disadvantage through the lens of the social model of disability and addressing the needs of children and young people who have been disabled by circumstance. 1. Broadening the use of the social model of disability to encompass disadvantaged learners. The traditional model for understanding disability, referred to as the medical model of disability, focuses on the features or symptoms of a person's condition in order to define their disability. Of course, diagnostic medicine and treatment is enormously valuable, but is not without its limitations. The medical model of disability is in many ways implicitly defeatist and rigidly fundamental. It frames disability in opposition to non-disabled individuals in terms of incapacity, and by the things a disabled person cannot do. The social model of disability, by contrast, reframes our understanding of disability, saying that it is instead inequitable physical, social, and cultural conditions within our society which disables people. Rather than suggesting disabled people are necessarily incapable of doing certain things, the social model asks us to consider the ways in which disabled people are prevented from doing things by environments and attitudes which exclude them, or, in other words, rendered them disabled by circumstances. The case we wish to put forward is that in education there are undoubtedly children disabled by circumstances who fall outside the medical definition of disability but who equally require special support. our country's poorest children, those eligible for free school meals, are four times as likely to be excluded as those who are not eligible. And free school meals eligible students have seen their academic attainment trend downwards over recent years. Often, these same children are those who, recognised or otherwise, have special educational needs. We are conscious that we are stepping into an arena of contended identities, where people are understandably and reasonably protective over language, their sense of self, and community. But what do we mean by disabled by circumstance? We feel adopting the phrase disabled by circumstance is appropriate for three primary reasons. Firstly, because the social model of disability dictates that the environment, rather than the individual, is responsible for their disability. It opens up the possibility to speak about disability in terms of the barriers to life and learning that hold them back, without stigmatising the difference of individuals. Instead, it opens our eyes to many more ways in which environments disable people, or to flip it, the way environments can enable people. For children who experience adverse childhood experiences, those are now called ACEs, in other words, victims of poverty, trauma or abuse, our classrooms and teaching professionals are often under-equipped to provide sufficient support. It is undeniable that these individuals are less likely to achieve well in education and face further challenges later in life as a result. In Wales, a study suggested that individuals with four or more ACEs are 20 times more likely to have been incarcerated at some stage in their lives. In this sense, such individuals are disabled in much the same way as those with medically recognised conditions, if their specific needs are not recognised. Secondly, because there is such an enormous overlap between circumstantial disability and our more traditional conception of SEND. For example, in the UK's youth justice population, it is estimated that as much as 70% have some degree of special educational needs. According to the Office of the Children's Commission, a Black Caribbean boy eligible for free school meals who also has special educational needs is 168 times more likely to be permanently excluded than a white British girl without special educational needs and not eligible for free school meals. These figures illustrate that there are compounded systemic challenges facing individuals between traditional medicalised notions of SEND and circumstantial factors. Indeed, the most common classroom issues regarding poor communication and misbehaviour are visible in students who have adverse childhood experiences, and those with medically recognised conditions such as ASD and dyslexia. And often because their underlying conditions are not adequately diagnosed early enough and supported. Thirdly, we believe the term disabled by circumstance has value because the viable and effective solutions to the issues are often similar. The great strength of the social model of disability is that it allows us to identify barriers faced by disabled and neurodiverse people and to look for innovative solutions in order to help remove or alleviate them. By adopting the idea of individuals disabled by circumstance, it becomes clear that many of the same solutions can help individuals who are disabled by other non-medical circumstances and factors as well. 3. Why raising attainment with well-being can drive the next wave of school improvement. Now, clearly, the work we do in schools cannot address the majority of social issues which produce the disabling conditions leading to poor academic attainment and exclusions. However, we can help to make the classroom a more equitable space that caters to specific needs of our young people. There cannot be equality in classrooms when some children enter them from a position of significant disadvantage to their peers. What is required is equity, specific support to help those who require help the most in order to create a level playing field. Putting social and emotional well-being for children, staff and parents and carers at the heart of leadership and learning. Developing a deeper understanding and application of the cognitive and metacognitive neurosciences that inform teaching and learning. Turning trauma awareness into a welcoming whole school culture and climate underpinned by trauma-informed practice. And finally, by embracing assistive technologies that offer enormous potential to help support disadvantaged children who struggle with numeracy, literacy, and communication. In doing so, it can help children disabled by circumstances who so often feel left behind and overlooked to build confidence and independence while at the same time freeing up educators to unlock and emphasise these individuals' talents. As Nessasai Obiobie, the CEO of Microlink, recently wrote, "Our system of education prepares young people in a way which, for better or worse, can shape their entire adult lives. By adopting the social model of disability in education, by understanding that some children are disabled by circumstance, we can identify the conditions that put certain children at a disadvantage and see how, in a great many of cases, there are circumstances that are within our power to change."